JC.
JC? No. K4 VWA. What's up, Jerry?
Flying, have flown, or headed to flying?
I'm on Interstate 26, down here below. I just crossed into the bottom of Lawrence County, on my way back up to my place to get my equipment and go fly. I had to run down to Edgefield this morning and work on a computer system down there this morning.
Around Edgefield, that's for sure. Man, you have to know your way down there.
Going to Edgefield, you got to go there on purpose. And you don't just run through it by accident.
Like you said, you either lost or you know where you're going, one or the other. That's kind of a haul down there. It always took me a lot longer to get there. Of course, I'd usually be hitting other places, too. It just wouldn't be one stop for me, but still, that's a haul down and back.
The house, and I live 4 miles south of Highway 11 on New Cut Road, so I'm way up at the northern end of New Cut Road. From my house down to Edgefield, where I'm going, is an hour and 43 minutes.
I was gonna say that's a lot of daggum. You know, you were way on the other side of the interstate I-85. So that's a lot longer haul for you than it was for me, because I could cut across a couple of ways and get there from Anderson, or either if I was leaving the office, I was right there at near Donaldson Center. Firm, I won't name it on there because they're still operating, but I was in sales for about 15, 16 years, I guess, but I worked out of Greenville, and that was a base, but I worked out of my house most of the time. I didn't go in the office because I was headed towards Charlotte or headed towards Alabama or Georgia. I was in a pretty good location. It was halfway between Charlotte and Atlanta, and I headed out both directions. But most of my territory was in Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, and Mississippi. I didn't go down that often. I had Texas. Didn't have anything in Florida because there wasn't anything much down there. Had most all of South Carolina, a good bit of North Carolina.
Conveyor systems. What was the name of it?
I didn't do conveyor systems. I did textile machinery. I bought and sold new and bought and sold used equipment.
Oh, okay. I thought you said conveyor systems. I'm sorry. I'm going to the audiologist in the morning to get me some, I'm going to look and get some hearing aids. Went to the TNT on Tuesday and he said, well, the last time that they had tested my hearing was in 2013. He said, it is time. It's time for you to get some hearing aids. And did you know that man told me, the doctor told me, that your hearing also affects your balance?
If you have a problem in the ear, especially ear infections, I know. I don't classify myself as elderly yet, but ear infections are real prominent, you know, as you're going up in your mid-70s and later. And that's one of the reasons people have trouble walking. They get those ear infections, and it affects their balance and the whole deal. My son and I were up doing some shooting up there above Valhalla at Cedar Creek Rifle Range. It's been a couple of months ago. Yes, some idiots up there didn't know the hot range, cold range deal. And he was shooting a Browning. I think it was a 270 or Alt-6 or maybe a Magnum caliber. He had a set of one of those tripods and he had one of those Browning bosses on it. You know what those are, kind of a muzzle brake thing where you can tune it. And he shot that thing before I got one side of my earphones on. Man, I tell you one thing, I was afraid I'd perforate my eardrum. It was loud.
Qualities and coordination and the consideration of others for a hot and cold range, didn't you?
had unloaded everything before I started. There was another guy up there that we see occasionally up there, and he's been going up there for years too, but this other guy let into him, then the rest of us did too. That place up there has got two benches that are not under shelter, and the other ones are, and he was under the shelter firing that thing. It had it mounted on a tripod. You know, it looked like a camera tripod. I can't remember where I seen the barbecue shooters use them, but he had that thing sitting up, and it was a Browning automatic rifle. It wasn't a bolt action or anything like that. But he was shooting all over the place trying to tune it up, and you know, you can get those things where you can get that boss on them, but take the ports off of it, because those ports are what makes it so dang noisy, and then being under the shed too, and I try to protect my hand. I usually wear earplugs and muffs most of the time, but we were just shooting our .22 revolvers and pistols that day, so we didn't have the heavy-duty stuff on, and we were kind of away from everybody else as well. But, you know, that don't matter to some people. They don't pay any attention to it. That's one thing about going to these public ranges is really, you have to really watch your step, because there's some crazy people out there.
That's why I hate to go to a public range, man. I tell you what, you run into some real idiots. But the public range that I go to is run by the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, and they've got a man there on a full-time basis. And that's over at Pauline. And I'm going to tell you something. He's just taken that post over from somebody else. And he runs a tight ship. He does a good job over there.
One there up above Liberty for a long time. But I used to shoot my .22s up there and shoot my .22 rimfire rifles usually. And they had a pistol range up there for a while. I don't know whether it's still there or not, but I prefer shooting my rimfire since I got plenty of ammo for them now. And, you know, up there, that's a well-run range as a rule, too. There's usually somebody up there. There's somebody up there all the time, but they're not open on Mondays, and that's the Sundays and Mondays, and Mondays is the only day my son has off. And he's in the gun business, more or less, so, you know, everywhere he goes, everybody seems to know him and ask him a question. He can hardly get to shoot for people bothering about stuff. But I like going up that one, especially shooting off the bench. I used to shoot .22s, Coopers and hand shoots and stuff like that for years. But my eyesight is not good enough to be able to see that fine dot on a 36 power scope anymore.
I hear you. Well, for years, I used to go up to that Trapper's Rest up at Trapper's Rest. And, you know, it used to be open to go in there and shoot. Somebody got that property, and it's all shut down now. It has been for years. I used to go up there and shoot. That was a good place. But there again, running into really stupid people up there.
Hate to have to come to you that time, but still, there were a couple of places here in town where you could go, but I think it's the guy that ran one of the ranges here in town, he passed away, and I'm not sure. I think it's still operating under another guy, but it just didn't have enough. I don't think it's got enough any type of long-range rifle. Now, Clemson, there's one of them on the way to Clemson. It's operated by Clemson University. It's a pretty neat setup. They got long-range stuff over there, but I'm not sure whether you have to be a member there or what it is, but they had a nice set of skeet ranges, and they might have had trap ranges too. They got a supporting clay range, and I also got rifle and pistol ranges up there, but I'm not sure what the deal is to shoot, where they charge you by the, you have to be a member and they charge you, what the deal is. But we always like to go up to, well, my son's friends was running the indoor range up at Palmetto, and since that's pretty close to my grandkids, we'd stop in up there and shoot for a couple hours up there when his friend was up there. Otherwise, it's too dang expensive to shoot. And on top of that, I don't like shooting indoors. It's just, I prefer shooting outdoors, like I can see a little better.
Okay. Yeah, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. Yeah, that's scratchy. I'm, if you know the intersection of 26 and 385 there at Clinton, I'm on 26 up and down those little hills right there. So I pass in and out of shadows. So I'm liable to get scratchy and then come back and scratchy again.
Kind of solid now, just some popping in the background. Of course, I heard some stuff on the repeater last night when the net was on. It was sounded like it had a lot of interference from somewhere. I don't know whether the band was open or what was going on with it, but it didn't sound its normal self. And same thing on a couple of 2-meter repeaters in there. They didn't sound up to snuff as they usually are. But yeah, I don't like shooting indoors. It's just too dark. It's all, it makes everything so much louder. But again, I don't shoot center fires anymore. I shoot all my stuff is rim fire, what little I do shoot. But I just don't see as well. You can put the lights on, it's still not like being outside. But I did like shooting the suppressed machine guns up there. That was fun. I shot a S&W MP15 22. It was full auto and had an integral suppressor with it. That thing was, I'd have to show you some pictures of us shooting it. That thing make you giggle like a 10-year-old girl.
Uh-huh.
When I just can't afford a full auto. But this one, I don't know. I'm sure this is just, they're a class 3 dealer, I guess. And so they can own them, but I don't know if an individual can own a, because they quit making all the full autos in 86. And this is a recent gun, so I'm sure it's not something an individual can own. If it was built before 86, it could, but that's like a ring of $15,000 now. But the suppressor stuff is a lot of fun, too. He's got a G44 Glock 22, and we use another, sometimes he goes out and shoots one of his buddies, he's got a suppressor. That thing is a lot of fun to shoot, too.
Yep, I can imagine. Well, the suppressors are not bad on the cost. I think it's $200 for federal fee, and whatever the suppressor costs.
The best way that, of course, the sheriff here, I think, is open to the guy that was here before, was the one that passed away. He'd sign anything for a suppressor or full auto. You'd have to sign off. The chief law enforcement officer does in the county or city or wherever you live in. But most of these people are using, I can't remember the terminology now, but it's like an estate type deal. I can't remember what the term is. That just escapes my thing. But that's the way to do it. That way you don't have to have their approval. But with the stuff that's on the rise, they'll probably, even though they're already regulated and they're considered part of the National Firearms Act, I think they're going to clamp down on them even further.
I think you're right. And I'll tell you something else, too. The way that law is written, my nephew is in college right now, and he is getting a criminal justice degree. Well, they put him on some ADD medicine, attention deficit disorder stuff, when he was a kid. Well, he hasn't taken any of that in 4 years. Well, the thing is, if you have ever taken any type of antidepressants or any type of stuff for ADD or anything like that, you cannot qualify for a firearm. You cannot get registered, and you cannot own one. As a matter of fact, if anyone in your household has that problem, then you still can't own one. And the way they got that written, man, it's going to knock a lot of people out of being able to have a firearm.
The thing is, it was a big joke. It didn't really do anything other than just lip service. But the way the law reads, you can have, other people in the household can own, but you just have to keep them locked up or supposedly away from them. But I don't know whether they'd have any, whether they'd be able to convict anybody of doing anything. That's kind of silly. But anyway, that's just the way, that's just the politically correct way to do it, and that plus taxing everything to death on top of that. Well, I got to run back outside here, Steve, and hope everything goes well for you this afternoon. I didn't feel a breeze when I was out at Walmart earlier, so maybe it's going to be nice and quiet this afternoon, because this is sure going to be the last day of a few days where you're going to have some good flying weather. So I got to go get my coals ready and cook put some pork on the grill. Talk to you later, Steve. Have a good one. M4DJC, clear after you.
M4DJC, always a pleasure, bud. And you made the about 20 miles there. A whole lot more bearable on this interstate. Have a good afternoon.